The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for listening today. We're both so excited about this episode. Michelle and I have a guest on the podcast today, but it's a super special guest because even though we're in three different time zones, we've all known each other for a really long time, and we're so excited to have you recording with us today, Trisha, after many weeks of trying to put this together. So, welcome.
Hi.
And
this is Trisha Dean.
Trisha Dean, thank you for taking the time to do this with us. And so, a little bit of background, the episode you're listening to is about planning a second wedding after divorce. So second time around.
I hope it's after a divorce.
People do second weddings to the same guy. Like it's our vow. Oh. Yeah. Our vow renewal or whatever.
Oh, right. Okay. I see.
I'm definitely going to make Lance do that at some point because our first wedding, you know, I didn't get to drink or
you were pregnant,
wear like a tight dress. Yeah. All of that. So, anyways, that's what the episode is about, and we'll get into that. But first, I wanted to talk about how we all met because it's very interesting and sort of circuitous in a way. As all of you,
and it all circles back to now.
Yes, and it is like this is like serendipity. So as you all know, if you've listened to our podcast from the beginning, the way that Michelle and I met was when we were living in the Bay Area, and Michelle was a wedding planner who had her own business. And I was a fresh-faced,
ambitious,
waitress, actress, performing, blah, blah, blah. Needed to get my shit together. Eventually ended up interning and assisting Michelle. And she mentored me and I started to learn about becoming a wedding planner. And part of that deal was that if I ever wanted to work for Michelle in a professional capacity, I would need to be a certified wedding planner, a certified event planner. And I wasn't.
Wedding consultant.
Yes. So I went to this program in the Bay Area that Michelle had actually gone to. And at that program, which was a 6-month like college extension program, we go like a Saturday every month for 6 months for 8 hours. And it felt very intense. And we've actually had the teacher of that on the podcast as well.
You have?
Anyways. Yeah. Yes, Michelle.
Joyce has been on the show.
No way. Amazing.
Assistant for her in the class. Anyways, that first day, I don't know, what were there? Maybe 30 of us in the class. And we go around the classroom to say a little bit about ourselves and why we want to maybe be a wedding planner. And I said that I was working for Michelle Martinez at Allure Consulting. And Trisha was also a student in the class, like, sort of what you kind of like lit up. I don't know. We weren't probably sitting next to each other, but you told me afterwards, oh my God, Michelle was my wedding planner. and we've talked about your wedding. We didn't name you, but Michelle's referenced it on the podcast when we talked about like wedding day mishaps and yours.
Yeah.
Seamstress.
The best.
She like her dress broke and they're in the middle of Napa. So anyways, long story, Trisha was a bride. Michelle was her planner for her beautiful wedding in Napa Valley.
Where the dress broke.
It
was an omen. It was a sign.
And I met Trisha, like 5 years after her wedding. And then we got to be really good friends. And Trisha and I ended up both getting pregnant at the same time and having babies a day apart. Our kids are a day apart. And Trisha helped me with my wedding.
That's true.
By doing some day of stuff and just generally being there for me when I started to panic. So it all circles back.
This is very incestuous.
I was just going to say that.
It's kind of weird.
And now Trisha has divorced her husband from the Napa wedding and is, after several years, getting married again. And this time around, I will be there in some some VIP capacity, but not as a planner because you have someone, but for this gorgeous wedding in New Orleans that is in 2018. So that is where we are.
Is the reason, Trisha, that you're not hiring me as your wedding planner is because you think it's bad luck because I did your first wedding? I know that's what it wasn't my fault.
It's bad juju.
Well, there's a couple. There's two good reasons. Well, one, that it's in New Orleans. And I believe that local is better. And I have very good reasons for this because I was actually going to fly in a planner. Like we had, you know, we have as wedding planners, we have very specific vendors that we love and that we work with. And so one of my thoughts was, you know, do I fly in a planner? Am I that person? Do I fly vendors into New Orleans?
Yeah.
And I think that my fiance and I have come to, we really love New Orleans. We go there way too much now, but that's a good thing. And we want to support that local community, especially after Katrina, even though that's so long gone, but still. So that's reason number one, even though I adore you and we had a blast my first wedding.
We did have fun.
We did. And Christy, you're not the planner because you are a VIP guest. And the last thing I would want a planner friend to do is to actually have to plan. You have to enjoy the hell out of that wedding, which you will. So
one thing about Trisha's venue in New Orleans that even more reason to hire someone local is that venue is beautiful and historic and unique. But it looks really fucking hard to work at, like logistically.
Oh, really?
To be like, if I were a planner that a bride had called to come to New Orleans, I'd be like, you're going to have to fly me out several times, not just for the wedding weekend. And there's going to need to be like a 5-day lead up to this that I'm in the city because it's just logistically tricky. You want somebody that's worked there before, basically, which you have, right?
Yeah.
Is it a big... What is it? Where are you getting married?
It's Race and Religious. It's on the corner of Race and Religious Streets. So that's where the name is driven
that's
from.
So
it is a weird name.
I know, crazy name, right? And they are homes from the late 1800s. And what they ended up doing is knocking down the backyard courtyard, so to speak, so that there's two homes on the property and the courtyards connect. So that's one huge courtyard now. And there's a couple... it sleeps 10 people, and then in the middle is what they call the slave quarters, because back in the day, that's where they stayed, and there's a bridge that connects one house to the slave quarters. It's a very cool property, and so you're allowed to just have the run of it when you're there for the weekend, and you can rent it as long as you want, and my lovely fiance wants it as much as possible. He just wants to move in, and so we're going to – one of the – cost savings, in a sense, is that all of the pre-wedding things are going to happen there. So, you know, welcome, rehearsal dinner, and then the wedding. And it's like a home. There's a pool. So, you know, kids are welcome and kids will be playing in the pool and we're going to...
Sleeping rooms, you're going to stay there?
Totally going to stay there. We have some family staying there. We have some friends staying there and we're utilizing some Airbnbs nearby because it's in an area that does not have a lot of hotels nearby, but there's B&Bs, there's Airbnbs, and then there's hotels for those people that want to be a little closer to the French Quarter. So,
and it's,
nice. It's awesome. It's old.
Yeah. Is it a plantation home? Is that what?
No, definitely not a plantation home. They're really like,
so it's in the city of New Orleans. So it didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like okay.
Proper.
Okay. They're like Victorians without looking like Victorians, if that makes any
sense. It looks like where a shoot for Anthropology would take place for one of their spreads.
Ooh.
That's what it looks like decorated and furnished. But Trisha, you mentioned like, one of the things we get to do is that we have the run of it. But that's also like we're sort of, that's part of the contract.
Yeah.
Like you cannot just get this thing for 8 hours. It's like... 3-day minimum, whatever. I'm sure they have different things at different times of the year, but I think that you guys have really embraced that, which speaks to your fiance, like being a big part of this and being so enthusiastic about that city, which is a destination for you guys and for everybody really going in.
Yep.
But I think that it could be, and it would be if I were part of the planning committee, it's daunting because it is like, you have this big space sort of estate in the middle of the city and there's so much to do, but like how would a couple make the best use of that? And I think you guys figured out how to best do that. And you can call it cost savings, but it's really like we're doing this amazing thing at this amazing property. There's nothing about it that is cheap. Like,
well, true. And I think that we're, you know, as event planners, we come into this with a different mindset, which I think there's pros and cons. Like, we know how to do this and we know how, we know what vision we want. But at the same time, I'm thinking, ah, shoot, I got to figure out staffing. I don't want my guests having to run around and refill wine. I don't want a self-serve bar. You know, I don't, I want somebody to clean up after everything. But since it's my house for that period of time, you know, I have to pay to bring those types of vendors in.
Yeah.
Whereas yeah. if we were doing a rehearsal dinner somewhere else, you know, it would be a restaurant and they would, you know, do everything for me. So I think that's the...
You want to host, but you don't want to work all weekend either.
Exactly. Exactly. I do not want to clean up.
We should say that you're not technically a wedding planner anymore. You did for many years have your own company while you were event planning for different tech companies in some capacity.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's rewind back a little bit. Let's go back for a moment and let's talk about what year was the first wedding? What year did we meet?
We met in 2004. And then actually we met in 2003 because the wedding was in 2004. I know. We're
And you were married for 10 years.
Yeah, married for 10 years in that time.
What was the month of the wedding? That was it May?
No, it was July. It took me a minute. It was July. July.
Okay, of 04.
Of 04.
So I had only, wow, that was so long ago.
I know. We were babies. Okay. We were babies.
I know. We were babies. I had only been doing that for like 2 years, been a wedding planner for like 2 years.
But you were badass at it.
Well, thank you.
You were. You were, especially when the dress happened.
Man. I know. That fucking
We should discuss. So what ended
okay,
up...
Okay, let's talk it. Yeah, you tell it.
Tell it. All right. So I had this lovely dress from a bridal store that is actually no longer in business. So something to be said there.
But it was not...
It was a ball gown.
It was
gown.
A pretty, you know, expensive gown.
Yeah.
It was like...
It was
beautiful.
It was not cheap. And I do remember my final fitting... that the zipper got a little caught and she zipped me up and she's like, no, it's fine. I promise. And it wasn't a concern because everyone was like, oh, it's lovely. Everything looks great. Final fitting, yada, yada. And the day of the wedding, we zipped up the dress and the whole zipper just split and broke. And there was no way it was going back together. The teeth, like... I mean, you saw it. I couldn't see it. It was on my side. But you tried. My mom tried. And then my mom drank a lot of champagne.
I got out the freaking dental floss.
Totally.
I was like sweating bullets.
It was late. The whole wedding was late because of this, right? Like an hour late.
Hour and a half.
It was late.
Yeah.
This was like, because you didn't do photos beforehand, right? You guys didn't see each other before the
ceremony. We were going to.
Yes.
We were going to, and that all... So actually, there were a couple things that were a big bummer from this. One, I had to pay a lot of vendors extra money because they had to work overtime because we went an hour and a half over. Two, I lost the ability to have a first look and to do a ton of photos that I wanted to do with my wedding party. And what ended up happening is during cocktail hours, we crammed in so many photos. I mean, it was like boom, 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 boom. And you know what this was? Here's another bit of irony. This is when digital photography was just starting to become big. And I was adamant that I not have a digital photographer. I wanted the love of film. And I did at that time afterwards regret that because digital photography was so easy to put places and store and reprint. And so that was something that I remember specifically. And I do remember specifically loving my video as well. Thomas Hughes did my video.
Thomas.
Yes, Thomas. And I loved it. And I was so glad that I spent that money. Brides get a video. And that's something that my Sutton, my fiance, has fought me on. And I was like, no, we are getting a video. It is one of my favorite
you
things.
Ended up hiring a photographer who does videography also, like with her assistant or partner.
Nice.
So that's a good kind of deal. More and more photography companies are doing that as they expand, I think.
Okay, wait, tell so the dress split, the zipper split, we tried to sew you into it, your mom tried, like we all tried.
Yeah.
And was this a holiday weekend?
No, it was not. July 24th. Okay. Yeah, July 24th.
Okay. So we ended up the hotel called in a seamstress, right, from town.
Yes, it took them a while. They called in a seamstress and she literally hand sewed me into my dress.
Yeah.
And one of the problems was she didn't bring a thimble. So she kept pricking her thumb and we would have to pause because she didn't want to get blood on the dress. I mean, it was like I had to lay sideways on the bed, so I was ruining my hair and makeup. Right. Like, it was a shit show. Let's be real. It was an absolute shit show. And I don't think anyone told my ex-husband, to be honest. I think that there was some giggles.
Found out that night.
Yeah, around Runaway Bride. Yeah, I had to cut myself out of that thing with nail clippers. That's the other thing.
Wait, didn't I tell him?
I don't think so, because there were some humorous things going on of like he had no idea what was going on. Then again, I'm not married to the guy anymore, so who knows if he actually listened to you, Michelle?
Yeah, maybe you said something and he just didn't quite connect the dots. Maybe you said something really vague like, Trisha's dress has a problem and it's going to take a little while to fix it. Just hang tight. Maybe you just weren't clear about it in your message. Okay, but all together, you did get married, and it was by, you know, your photos, this beautiful, classic, traditional wine country wedding.
It was a lovely, beautiful day.
It was.
Fast forward 10 years later, you're getting a divorce, or you are divorced, and we wanted to do this because we've had brides on before, on the podcast, and grooms, but we have not had this perspective yet. And I think it's important because like, it's not like you're 75 years old planning your, you know, like some second wedding after being married for 40 years. And it's just different. This is going to be very much a big classic wedding, but for you, I know the process has been different and we can get into a million things about how the two men are very, very different. And what your plans might be to make, you know, the weddings different, but we specifically wanted, I guess, to just hear how it feels and how your decision making is just totally flipped this time around, if it has been.
After you got divorced, did you feel like you would get married again? Like, did that even cross your mind?
I didn't close the door, but I was like, I didn't care. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't I was kind of like, I don't have to do that again. I was really happy to be alone. And that could be a whole other podcast.
It could be. Yeah.
I was really happy and content. I think content is an important word. And I think divorce is a horrible, hard thing. But I came out the other side and was really content with my girl. And
your daughter.
And I think she was 5 at the time. And just really content with being by myself. And I focused on myself and I focused on my career and my girl. And we had a blast. Like, I look back at that time.
Yeah, you got that routine going pretty early on with her.
Yeah. There's a couple times in my life where I'm like, gosh, I was really happy in those moments or that time. And that's just something that I was content about. So meeting people, I was just happy to meet people. Like, I had been with my ex for 14 years total. We dated for 4 and we're married for 10. So it was fun to just go meet people and figure out who I was at that time.
That's awesome.
And figure out who I was with a kid meeting people, which is a whole...
Right.
Yeah. So...
Also, it should be noted that Trisha, and I think a lot of, I don't know, young divorcees do this. Like, you sort of became like Trisha 2.0. It was like... new hair, new teeth, new other stuff, new wardrobe. I'm going to like, I'm on that bike every morning. Like, you like physically went through a bit of a, and I have several girlfriends who have, in fact, you were going through a divorce at the same time as a couple other girlfriends of mine. And all of you came out on the other side, like here I am, world, like reinvention.
Well, that's the power of focusing on yourself, like to your point, like I think all that was new. Yeah, because it was 2.0, because it was like, oh my gosh, I can put all my time and energy into me, or a lot of it, you know, because when you have a kid that really goes the other direction. But it not that, you know, I just didn't have to, I didn't have the weight of this relationship that wasn't working anymore. So I was able to put that energy into me. And yes, to your point, 2.0 was a freaking blast. Like it was very, and it still is, but it's different now. You know, you meet people, you go do things, you exercise, you take care of yourself, you get new things. But you push limits.
How old were you when you got married the first time?
26.
Okay. So you were in your mid-30s when you got divorced.
Yep.
Okay. That makes sense. Yep. I feel like, not make sense that you got divorced. Make sense of the whole, like, that's also a kind of like time where you go, kind of go naturally through these.
Yeah.
Like, I want to look, I'm going to be, when I'm 40, at least me, I'm like, when I turn 40, I'm going to look the best I've ever looked. Like, I'm going to be in the best shape.
Yeah.
Like, F you 40.
Well, and I had a career to support it. So it's not like.
And what was your career?
Well, so I'm an event planner. I'm a corporate event planner. At the time I was at Apple, but I was very fortunate.
She's
so
kind of big time, you guys.
I was the breadwinner, and I had the money.
You're kind of a big deal in that way.
Yes, she is. You did weddings for a while, though.
I did.
You graduated from this. You got your certificate, and you started your wedding planning business.
Yeah, and I did it on the side while I worked at Apple. And I actually did my last wedding while I was at Google, which is crazy pants.
So not that long ago.
But I can't do it anymore.
It was hard for her to let go.
It was. I loved it so much. Like us event wedding planner people, we do it for a reason. We love it. And I have to say, because I had a really great job and a great career, I think it's a different type of divorce when you're in the driver's seat and you don't have to worry about money. I didn't have to. Mm-hmm. Like I was the one in control of that. So that's a very different perspective of some people going through divorce.
Of many women.
Yeah.
Going through divorce. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you kind of casually, there were some super casual, not even relationships, but by the time after your divorce, but when you met Sutton, I remember you telling me about him, and it felt to me like it was hook, line and sinker from pretty much the get-go. Like, you were kind of bowled over a little bit, and she described him to me, Michelle, like, give me the stats. Like, what's this guy about? What does he look like? What does he do? How old is he? Ever been married? Ever been to jail? Does he live with his mom? All the questions a normal girlfriend would ask. And afterwards, you told me everything, and I was like, maybe we were texting, but I was like, you met a unicorn. Like, how is this guy even still on the market at all?
Wait, why?
Like,
why
because he was like a magical, he had not been married. He owned his own, like, amazing home in San Francisco. He had a good job. He has a great head of hair.
I've seen his picture.
He's, like, athletic, but not to an obnoxious point. You know, he's, like, confident. He fucking, like, paints canvases and rides motors or his bike. And, yeah, he's just, like, a Renaissance man, I think I said. Like, where did this guy come from? How has he not been snatched up?
This is true.
I was so happy for you because it was so, like, you were glowing, you know, but it was like, oh, you've met your match.
Like, how did you meet Sutton?
You've met
well, he
match.
Likes to say, I marched right up to him. He was a guest at an Apple event I was doing. And I have very specific rules. It was a cocktail party about registration at events. I think that if you're throwing a cocktail party, you should not be registering anybody. So when
like a front desk, you mean?
Right, like a front desk. You should not, you know, you're invited to this party, you're checking in. It should be a very seamless experience. Like, you're going to a social event, not you're going to this tech event where you're...
Here's a name tag.
Exactly.
You know? Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
Right. So
Isn't that shocking, Michelle, that she had rules for an event?
Yeah, totally weird.
So Sutton, I was checking people in, and the way that I checked people in was I watched the door. I had a colleague as well. We watched the door, and we would immediately go up to them, shake their hand, ask them who invited them, and then walk them over to that person that invited them. And so when I checked Sutton in, as he likes to say, I checked him. I literally marched over in my high heels. I remember exactly what I was wearing. And I just didn't stop talking to him. I checked him in. I got him a beer. I did not ask who invited him.
You were supposed to bring him to his friend and instead.
Yes. And he said, I'm waiting for my CFO to get here. And I said, okay, well, I'll let you know if he arrives. And we just ended up chatting. And actually, one funny moment, Christy, I don't even know if you know this, but my phone was on the table. And my screensaver is Emmeline, my daughter. And
I think I do know
yeah,
this.
Yeah. And I clicked my phone and I put it down and the picture of Emmeline came up and he looked at me and he goes, is that your daughter? And I went, oh shoot. do I go single mom route or do I say, oh no, that's my niece.
Oh, you were interested from the get-go. Oh,
definitely.
You're like, this guy's high.
Oh yeah.
Do I reveal? Or, yeah. Okay. So what'd you say?
Yes, it's my daughter. And he's like, oh, she's very cute. Like, yeah, I know. I chose the right
about?
Answer.
She looks just like me. He did. Do I look like I have a child?
Totally. I mean, you have to weigh these things when you're in the dating world as a single mom. But no, yeah. I told the truth. And every now and then he'll look at me when my phone goes on the table and he's like, is that your daughter? I'm like, oh, you're so funny. You're so funny.
Cute.
So anyway, we chatted and we did that silly dance that you do all night where as an event planner, I was running around doing stuff. His colleague finally came. As it was a cocktail party. So as the party was winding down, he said, would you like to get dinner with me and my colleague? And I said, unfortunately, I cannot. I have to close the event down with my team. So he and his colleague sat at a table. My team finished closing the party up. We went to the bar. I went over to his table to check on his dinner. Like, I worked at the freaking restaurant. And I said, how are things? He's like, the salad is amazing. And I was like, great. Went back to the bar. And he, when he walked out, he went to the bar. And I was with my literally seven people. And he did not ask for my phone number. And I was so disappointed. So I let 48 hours go by. And then I had his email because as the event planner, I was in charge of inviting everybody as well. But I did not use his email. I went on LinkedIn and I said, if you or your colleague would ever like to come and, you know, have lunch at Apple, please let me know. And he wrote back a couple hours later and was like, it was amazing to meet you too. I hope this isn't too forward, but let's just go to dinner tomorrow night. And that's how it all went.
The rest is history.
The rest is history. Nice. I was looking for just to have a great time and date and have fun and meet people. And he was a very interesting person. Like, you know, you could tell he was smart and he was engaged in so many different things. And so I just wanted to meet. And we had our first date at Mayfield Bakery in Palo Alto. And I realized quickly that, to Christy's point, the guy was a unicorn. So it was fun. It was good. Totally. I love him. He's the best.
How long did you meet him after?
So that's the thing. Like, it was pretty quick. It was, I mean, in a divorce, nothing is really, there's no hard lines in the sand. You know, something's wrong and you're trying to figure out what to do. And then there's an official date that a judge in a court gives you. So it was a month after the official date that the court gives you, but it was 6 months after we had officially separated.
Okay, but that's not a long time.
I know. I was pretty trying to claim the field. What are you?
Yeah. Well, you were looking so damn good. That, you know,
right.
Real.
I'll take
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
And then you got engaged, and now how long? As we're recording this, how long have you been in the wedding planning process?
Man. So we got engaged, but a whole year went by where we didn't worry about the wedding. We've been engaged for a while now.
Why is that, do you think? Did you guys both say, like, let's figure out what we want to do?
Yeah, I think it was more like we freaking adore each other. We know we want to be together, but we don't need to rush into anything because we know we want to be together. And I think it was more, there's a kid involved, there's an ex involved. Let's just know we want to be with each other and then let's figure out all the other details slowly but surely. So it's funny because he has not been married before and he doesn't realize, or he didn't at the time, that when you plan a wedding, you kind of need a year to plan a wedding. Like, get that venue and get the vendors you want and all that stuff.
And save the money.
Exactly. Like, you need a year. I mean, you can definitely do it in shorter time periods if you don't want to be picky, but I could tell that he's really excited about this wedding. He's planned events in his past career and he cares a lot about details, which is an absolute blast. So he's very fun to plan with. He has very specific ideals about things. But we let a year go by and then we started to plan. And one of the reasons we wanted a destination wedding, we were looking at Jackson Hole. We were looking at Maine because he's from the East Coast. We were looking at New Orleans. We were looking at San Francisco because that's where we met. And one of the reasons we kept going back to New Orleans is that it's kind of in the middle. My family's from the West Coast. His family is mainly in the East Coast. And it's a town that just embodies the spirit of kind of what we enjoy about each other. Amazing music, food, social atmosphere, great friends,
booze.
It's just booze, wine. So it's just, it's fun.
Trisha, when he proposed, were you expecting it?
No. We had talked about it because we just felt it was very quick. I feel like when you're older, you know, and you've done this before, you know yourself better and you know what you want and you, for me anyway, you don't hesitate to say no to what you don't want. And I knew a lot quicker. Like, I knew that this was different, that this is somebody that was a partner, that this is somebody that would take care of me and my daughter and I could take care of them. Like, it was very even. And it felt right. And so we talked about it because I was just like, oh, I get you. You get me. Let's just be together. We were in Catalina. He has a home in Catalina, and he proposed with his grandmother's ring, who had lived in that home in Catalina. And it was pretty cool. But I think it was unexpected because it was pretty soon. I was like, we got time. And I think that's why we had such a long engagement, too.
How long were you together before he proposed?
No, I knew you were going to ask me that. Now I'm going to have to think about it. And I think it was a year. We were together a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when he proposed and you accepted, had you talked about having a wedding again, right? Like doing another wedding. I'm very curious as to how you felt about that.
I wanted something pretty simple. And honestly, what was driving that fact was I knew how much money I spent on the first one.
Right.
And I knew that could have been an amazing down payment on a house.
Yeah.
I knew that with a kid, it could go to her college fund. But I could see how excited he was about celebrating with all of his favorite people. So what truly drove a bigger wedding was guests. And, you know, I think that we embraced it when we were like, oh my gosh, we're like 150. And that's what he's so excited about, is sharing with people that he loves and knows, as am I. But I think that as an event planner and the knowledge of the first time around, I was like,
but that was in essence then was the biggest compromise or the biggest give almost, is like you never questioned, oh, Sutton wants something big. Then of course we're going to do something. Then that's what we're going to do. Because even though you knew how much it cost,
you're totally right.
It was like, this is his experience also. And just because I have the perspective of having done this already and I know how much it costs, but I had all the friends come out. Now I'm going to be asking the same friends to come out for this totally different kind of event. But more than half the guests are going to be his.
Completely.
You know, because he's the kind of guy who like has friendships and relationships from all aspects of his life, Michelle. You know, the kind of adult man who is still friends with people from high, you know, like good friends all across his life, all across the country.
Everybody
and the world,
loves Sutton.
Yeah,
his
like
guest list is ginormous. Let's be real. But you know what, Christy? It's also,
so
it's two against one, because I've got an 8-year-old daughter now who is like, oh my God, I get to wear a dress and I get to be in a wedding and I get to be in my mommy's wedding and I get to be with this. It's totally her wedding too. And so it was kind of two against one. Like, it was not, you know.
That is a different element for sure.
Oh.
So she, it's very important to her, and I need to be mindful of not a lot of kids get to be in their mom's wedding. And no. And one of the sweetest things is that, you know, she has a daddy, Jeff, my ex, but she and Sutton have this amazing relationship where she asked to call him dad. So she has a dad and a daddy.
She did.
She did. And that was all her. Beautiful. That was not, yes. So I can't take away this like princess-esque, I mean, the dresses she wants are crazy pants.
The dresses that you wanted are kind of crazy pants
Wait, you're saying dresses. Are you both going to change?
No.
Are you going to?
She.
I'm saying dresses because I've experienced the entire scope of the dress shopping.
Oh, that's right.
And the evolution of like, I think I want this.
Oh my God.
I want
this. I was
I'm
the worst.
Definitely going to want this. That is scratched.
I was the worst.
Trisha would send me pictures at like 2 a.m, my time, midnight, your time. Like 12 pictures. What do you think about these 12?
I was, you know what? Pictures. Honestly, the easiest thing has been everything else. The worst thing has been the dress. Like, I could do the other stuff in my sleep. Like, and Sutton and I are totally on the same page with
because the other
everything.
Stuff is event, and the dress is you and
oh
your
my
body
God.
And the way you
it's been
look.
A nightmare.
Right?
Seriously, I think I went to 30 dress shops. Like, I tortured myself. Like.
Ugh. Oh my God.
I know. It was the hardest
you're
part.
Like, and you're like, and by the way, is this a zip up or is this button? Can we just do pullover? I just don't totally. Like zippers.
Well, it's just a slip dress, what she finally decided on. It just goes right over her head. It's like she doesn't even have to wear any underwear. Totally. It's like,
actually, let's just do pants.
What
can we
Courtney
do pants?
Love 1990.
It's a jumpsuit.
Yeah.
It's no, a but jumpsuit. I think it's funny because that's been the hardest part. Because how, like, one of my girlfriends comes up to me and she's like, you cannot get a poofy dress. And I was like, bitch, I can get whatever I want.
Yeah, boom.
And she, you know, then she's got me doubting myself. I'm like, can I get a poofy dress? What do I want? Aww. What do I really want to wear? I'm almost 40. What does a 40-year-old wear?
Was I that girlfriend?
What?
Are you talking about
no,
me?
No, not you.
Okay.
Did you tell
I think
you
I've,
she can't
I
wear
was...
a poofy dress?
No, I was more like she, if she sends me 12 pictures and some are poofy and some aren't, and I like the ones that aren't, I would be like, oh, I like 2, 3, and 7. I don't love 12.
I tortured her with
and that
might poof.
Have been like the poofiest of the poof, but that's just that's my own. She's asking for my opinion. I wasn't just offering it without you asking.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that though, because like the rules, you know, don't wear white after Labor Day, whatever. We, as you get older and more confident, you feel a lot more comfortable breaking these so-called, oh, you can't do that. Don't tell me what I can do.
Yeah, I just think
I do what I want.
You should do what makes you happy. And what makes me happy is I picked, well, that's the other thing I did wrong. And I don't know if it's wrong, but I took Sutton dress shopping with me because I wanted to know what he thought was beautiful on me. And that set me down a rabbit hole that was so different than anything I had ever picked dress-wise.
Was that a good idea or a mistake?
You know, I think it was a good idea in the sense that my biggest fear was that I walked down the aisle and that he would be like, oh my God, you look like a cupcake. I don't know. I enjoyed his opinion because I enjoy his opinion in everything else that we do. So I wanted it for dresses because I just wanted him to think that I was the most beautiful thing coming down the aisle. And I think that what truly matters is if I felt beautiful in it, then he would have thought that. And so
yes.
Now I have two dresses.
So at the end of...
Now you're like, why did I do that?
Did you ever think about some... Did it ever cross your mind? Like, oh, I can wear a black dress or I can wear a non-wedding dress.
Oh, yeah. Is it white?
It is white.
Yeah.
It
did
is.
You always want a white wedding dress for this?
Yeah, because I think that in my mind, it doesn't matter what number wedding it is. I just think wedding is white. Like... My first wedding, my mom and I found this beautiful black and white dress. It was a white dress with all black embroidery on it, and it was stunning. And I really, really struggled with it because I was in love with the dress, but I could not get out of my head the notion of wedding is white. And I walked away from it. We even talked about them doing all the embroidery in white, and I just kind of was like, you know what? It'll lose its impact. I walked away from it. But for second wedding, I was like, no, this is, and I think because it's Sut's first wedding too, it's like, no, this is a wedding. This is a big, important day for us. And I want people to know it's a wedding. And I like tradition. I am big on tradition. So screw those other
second
people.
Wedding, white dress, do whatever you want. It's a white wedding dress that you're wearing.
Yep.
But what about other, are there other like quote unquote wedding traditions that you were like, I'm not doing that?
Yeah.
Because it's my second.
Yeah. We had, because it's my second. I think wedding party, I think as you get older, it gets not complicated, but it's a lot of time and money for people. And I think that there's other ways to show that those people are important.
Oh, you mean to ask people?
Yes, yes. One, we're asking them to all fly to New Orleans. You know, it's a destination wedding to begin with. Two, I think that we can find other ways to honor them that are more meaningful than them having to buy a dress and stand up there awkwardly. Three, we got rid of all the pre-wedding stuff. Like we are not, there's no showers. There's no bachelor or bachelorette parties. There's,
he doesn't get to have a bachelor party.
No, he doesn't want one. He's like adamant. He doesn't want one.
He is a unicorn. I love him. Can you just go grab him right now? While I see him.
He's a silver fox unicorn.
He is.
I was asking like, so that's why a 3-day kind of long weekend, because they have events for all 3 days. If that kind of made sense, because you weren't doing all these pre-wedding parties.
Yeah. We hope people come in and enjoy the city and come to the venue and swim in the pool and enjoy food and drink, and we can all go out together, because I think that's the best type of bachelor bachelorette party. And I am saying personally, but with age, like I do not need to go out and tie one on with a stripper just to go get married. Like I just think those are some of the non-traditional things.
Does that big group party that's happening on, I mean, did that decision also come about because you and Sutton, I mean, you know, because of you guys being swingers and stuff?
Totally.
Yeah, you don't need a stripper when you have one every other weekend.
Yeah, when you're just like, is that why we're all staying in the house? I mean, I'm down. I just like, I want to be able to tell
Chris
Lance like what to
She's
expect.
She's opening up her mind to her heart and her mind.
I wanted to mention this to you for a couple of weeks, but I thought, what time is better than now?
Right. Oh, wait, I thought of one more non-traditional thing if you want it.
Yes.
We are not asking for gifts. And you know what, though? This isn't second wedding driven, so I guess that's not fair. But I think that a lot of couples...
It's like established
especially
adult.
If they're older. Like, we have a home.
You don't need anything.
We don't need anything. So one of the things we wanted to do is, again, give back to New Orleans. So we have some donations for some local animal rescues that are important
great.
To us. So that's going to be kind of the main driver of gift. And again, destination weddings are tough. Like, they're just a lot of money, you know? So
you say, you know, like, that's not second wedding. What is jumping out to you as like, oh, this is second wedding? Or maybe you're second guessing yourself about something, or you're like, I don't want to do that because I already got married. Or maybe you're like, fuck it, I don't care. This doesn't even matter to me. Like, assuming that there are people there out here listening, there are people listening to you right now who are also planning their second wedding or thinking about it. Like, what do you have to say to them? Like, how has this experience been for you based on that?
I think you can do whatever you want. And I think that's one of the things in weddings too. But don't let anyone tell you you can't have a poofy dress. Don't let anyone tell you you can't not have a wedding party. You know, Seth doesn't really want to have a rehearsal. And I said, okay, well, we don't have to have a rehearsal, you know, and that as an event planner is like blasphemy.
You're not having a rehearsal?
I think that because there's really
no wedding party.
No wedding party, you know? So, I mean,
know how to walk in, you know.
I do, yeah. And I think actually Emmeline, you know, we've been talking about her walking me down the aisle. That's totally not traditional, but my dad already did it once and I don't want to offend him, but I also think that he, as a 40-year-old woman, he shouldn't be giving me away. Like, I think that
it's a very different feel.
It is. Like, I'm not his little girl. I didn't just graduate from college and, you know, our relationship is amazing and wonderful, but I think that I am my own person. So don't let anyone tell you if you can think it and you're thinking like, oh, I can't do that because it's just not right, or it's not traditional, or it's not accepted. Like, you can write your own rule books. I think that that's what makes it, one, your wedding, two, special, and and really defines what it is about you guys as a couple. Sutton really wants a first dance with Emmeline. You know, I don't know if he's going to have one with his mom. I think he will, but these are things we haven't decided, but we know the things that we do want, you know? Mm-hmm.
You mentioned your dad, or not wanting to kind of like offend your dad or not have him be a part of it in that way. Have there been other family, like your sister was involved in your first wedding, maid of honor, or yeah. And your, yes. you know, your mm-hmm. mom was in there trying to get the zipper. You were a totally different Trisha at the first wedding, just where you were in your life. Have there been hurdles when it comes to family? Because more than once you've talked in this just conversation, you've talked about like, it's a destination wedding. We're asking a lot of people to fly out and spend money and, you know, rent rooms. Like, has it just been the destination part that's you've been hyper aware of? Or are there some family, have you encountered any like family dynamics that have been like, ah, this is not how I expected it to go down, or this more complicated.
I know what you're alluding to.
Well, because I've thought about that. That is part of why you're not having bridesmaids.
Yeah. And I think it was more my sister. I really wanted my sister, and I have a half sister. I wanted, they're just my sisters, but I wanted them to be part of the wedding, and I was going to try and stop it there. But then there's you and there's Naomi. I mean, there's just these people that were important to me. And then, it got to where the focus was, I'm so worried about that, and I shouldn't be. I should just be enjoying the planning and enjoying the moment. And, you know, what are they wearing? What are the flowers? What are they going to do? Where are they going to stand? Where are they going to walk? And then, you know, my sister was like, I've done this already. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't love Sutton, but I just want to be there and enjoy as a guest. I don't want pressure.
She told you this.
She did. She did. It was kind of a big deal. So it was an interesting conversation, and it took me a long time actually to hear it. I didn't want to hear it at first. I was like, you're my sister. You're going to be in the wedding. And I wanted her kids, my niece and nephew, in the wedding. And that's a big stress for her.
Yeah.
Keeping them clean. Like, let's be real. When your kid is in a wedding and you're not, it's still stressful. You know, like, stay clean. Don't move. Don't pick your flowers.
Smile.
Don't drop your flowers.
Stand still.
Exactly. We have to be there early for photos. That means I have to get ready early. That means your dad has to get. Like, there's a lot of logistical things. And then my sister was like, please don't make them be in the wedding. I was like, but I adore them. But it's a lot of stress, and it's a lot of stress on little kids too. Not that I don't, but we can still have those amazing family moments and get those photos without
absolutely
creating this. And if it's something that's really going to stress her out, then I want to respect that. And the more and more that I've thought about it, it's like, gosh, let's just have everyone go and have an amazing time. Let's not worry about dresses and colors and flowers. And it's funny to see the things that he really wants. There's a Queen cover band that he worships, that he knows the band, and they're in Austin, and he wants to fly them in for the rehearsal dinner party. So ironically, we're not having a true rehearsal, but we're having a rehearsal dinner and a welcome party afterwards. And he's like, it has to happen. Like, it's non-negotiable. And I'm like, we haven't even talked about the band for the wedding. Like, do you want a DJ? Do you want a band?
But it is happening?
Yeah. So he wants this
I'm
Queen cover
so
band.
I'm so effing stoked about a Queen cover band.
I don't even care about Queen. Wait. That's the other thing. I'm like, are they going to play Bohemian Rhapsody?
Of course they are.
And you're going to sing it. You're going to perform it.
Oh,
flash
man.
Flash mob that shit, Christy.
Good one. Yeah.
You love a good flash mob.
I do.
But and the other thing is, I just remembered too, you know, New Orleans, in meeting with this local planner, most weddings are reception style. They are not sit down dinners. So reception style is we it's just cocktail all night long. It's a big cocktail party.
And past hors d'oeuvres.
Past hors d'oeuvres and stations, heavy stations.
That's my favorite kind of reception.
I know, but the funny thing is us wedding planners or us type A's looking at a timeline, like, I thought I was super proactive, and I went to my first planner meeting with my timeline, and she's like, yeah, no, none of this happens this way. She's like, you do this because the food, you open the food up and everyone roams and you do. And I'm like, wait, really? What? I'm just used to a very, you know, stylistic
so wait,
way of doing
because
it.
but they wouldn't have done it the way you wanted? I'm just curious. Not that it's wrong.
No, no, no. Right. She was totally open to it, but she gave very good reasons for, if you are having a cocktail style reception, why on earth are you going to do past hors d'oeuvres and hold back the stations when XYZ? And I was like, oh, you're right. That totally makes sense. Or, you know, how do you, you need to go have that. I think it's very important that right after you get married, you have a private moment with your bridegroom, whatever, and you, you know, take a minute to be like, whew, okay, that was awesome. Let's get something to drink. Let's toast each other. Let's grab a quick bite.
Totally. No, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And then really quickly.
Because we're going to be way too tired.
That's so Michelle. She's like, just a quickie in the bathroom. Hike this dress up. Go. And then we'll.
That's why they're dresses. Zipper. That's why pantsuits. Yeah.
That's why exactly. Pantsuits are tricky. Yeah.
Totally. Oh. But. anyway. No pantsuits.
Man, I had a really good question for you and I forgot it because talking about sexy time.
That's important.
So how has it, like being a former wedding planner and a former bride and also just a busy, successful career woman and a mom, and you just bought a new house. I mean, so you moved and there's a lot going on. How has it felt, this process, this time around?
I think I've it's funny because I was my degree is in graphic design. So the two things that have been the hardest have been the invitations and the dresses. The dress, because, you know, that is my personal statement of myself on the day. The invitations, I think I just burnt out so badly from being a designer for so long. I want nothing to do with my wedding invitations. And so it's like, let's send them digitally. And because I'm a graphic designer, I cannot. Like, I want that beautiful paper. I want somebody to open something like that. Yeah. It's a little gift that's important to me. And I know that 99.9 of the people are going to throw them away. And I know that I should save money on them. But that is something, like, put that money towards something else. But that is something that we've talked about incessantly is the invitations.
And you're talking about, like, going crazy over fonts.
Yes.
And like, whether it's printed or laser printed or
letterpress. I love letterpress.
Or letterpress. Okay.
Yes. So I'm struggling. I'm struggling with that one.
Yeah.
And I just don't like the way anything looks because I haven't found, like, it shouldn't be heavy calligraphy. Like, it should, in my mind, it's the first clue to what your wedding is going to be like. And I don't know. So, you know, Sutton's an artist. We talked about that. He went and he did a bunch of watercolors of the venue, which are amazing. So we're trying to figure out how to incorporate those into the invitation. And that overwhelms me because then it's, we have to scan them and it's a different medium with the,
I got to tell you, as your friend, don't overthink this part. You're already doing it.
I know. Can you tell?
You're like spinning about it. Yeah. I'm surprised I haven't heard about this already because I heard so much about the dresses that I'm surprised we haven't moved on to like fonts and type, you know, and typography. And
I have an appointment. That, but... So we go to Jackson Hole every winter and we go skiing. And I have stalked this wonderful gal online, Cara. And I have an appointment while everyone else is on the slopes with this invitation designer in Jackson Hole. I know. I told you I'm psycho. This is a good example of wedding planner, event planner, planning wedding too, where I'm getting into the minutiae of this freaking invitation. And then the other stuff, I found amazing vendors and it's trust and let go. Like, here's what I want.
Yes.
Here's my mood board. Here's my
trust
hate.
Trust and let go. Yeah. I love that.
Trust and let go. Like, I'm showing you what I love and I know you're going to nail it because I picked you and you're
trusting you to provide it.
Yep.
When's the wedding?
It is in June. In June.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, Jesus, you're just doing the invitations? Okay. I felt like for some reason I thought we were closer to the wedding. Okay, so we've got...
But those invites should be done, Michelle. If you...
I know.
I know.
No, it'll be good. It'll be fine.
I know. It will be fine. It will be. And the Save the Dates went out and the website is up and I'm super proud of the website. Like, I put a lot of time and effort into it. And
what are you using for the website? Who are you using for the website?
Bliss and Bone.
Why?
Why? Because it was modern and it was fresh and it was something that I could have a lot of design control over. And it was photography heavy and I wanted to have some fun with it. So I also wanted my own URL.
So we'll link to that because that sounds super cool.
It is. I learned from it.
As an alternative.
Yeah.
Route.
From Christy Baird of Loho Bride. She owns.
I'm looking on their website. This is beautiful.
It is. It's beautiful. They do an amazing job. And you pay a monthly fee. So, but it has a great, ability to do all sorts of things with travel and photos and.
Yeah. Your story as a couple.
Yeah.
So they do you can actually order invitations through them too.
You can. I didn't want to be in that box. I wanted to do my own thing.
Can you do RSVPs through the website?
Yes, you can. But I flipped it around. So what I wanted to do, you can set that all up as a digital, like get your wedding invitations that way. But I wanted to send something paper. So what I did was had them click through to put their address in so I could have their most updated address. And instead of RSVPing, it's, hey, we're super excited. We've got to save the date. Here's our address. So that's because you have that flexibility a little bit.
This is awesome.
So let me ask you this, because Michelle and Trisha, you guys could geek out about website design all day long. And
I'm like, man.
You're losing me.
I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
In terms of like what is actually going to happen on the wedding day, do you feel like you are, it sounds like you're really happy and excited about some of the emotional parts of the day, which include very much so your daughter. Have you referred to anything to try to figure out how to incorporate, or has it just come to you in Sutton? Have you talked to other people who have done this, or?
I think anytime you attend a wedding, so for example, we just went to a good friend's wedding, and the bride, like, home run, knocked it out of the park with vows, like, killed it, not a dry eye in the house. And the groom, when it was his turn, was like, oh, uh-oh. Shit.
That sucks.
And I think that we had a full-on conversation of how do we make sure we're on par with our vows so that our guests don't, like, we felt awkward for the groom. Yeah. We were like, oh, crap.
Oh, man, so everyone's going to remember that.
I know, and he...
It's vow disparity.
Totally. It was total vow disparity. And so we've been talking about how do we do that without seeing each other's vows so that it's really heartfelt in that moment. I think that you learn a lot from attending other weddings and you learn a lot from being around other couples or even just events. Like, that was a fun thing to do, or we should do that at our wedding. So I think that's you're excited and you're just grabbing on to all these different types of things. And you see things as a planner, we're out and about, but one of the things I wanted to add was a rug to the ceremony space. One, Sutton loves rugs. Like, it's a weird thing. Loves rugs. He loves to vacuum. And he does not like hardwood floors. Like, he wants rugs over everything, but not like rugs wall to wall. He wants the hardwood floor and then the rugs. Like, we literally just bought 4 rugs today. So this is ironic. But awesome. I was like, oh my God, that's such a stupid, cool, fun nod to him loving rugs. And it will define the ceremony space a little better. And it'll make Ophia super cozy on brick. So just little nice. Random things like that. Everything else has been super easy to plan. It's, again, dress, invitations, and I think vows will be a struggle. I think that too, the first time around, I don't know, you're kind of wide-eyed and bushy-tailed in the first wedding. Like, it's, I'm not trying to take anything away from my first wedding because it was amazing and wonderful, and it was what it needed to be at that time for that time period in my life. But I think that we just threw a big ass party for our friends. And it was way too many people that we didn't keep in touch with, you know, even 6 months after the fact. And I think we were just kind of doe-eyed and like, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. This is, you know, and 2004 isn't when weddings even exploded yet. Weddings had truly, you know,
Pinterest wasn't.
Totally, yeah. Weddings and wedding planners. Yeah. Weren't the wedding industry is very different now. Well, not very different, but it's pretty different now where weddings are kind of have a mind of their own. And we just threw this big party and that's what we thought it was supposed to be. So personal detail is definitely more integrated this time around for sure.
That it's more of a statement about who you two are individually and as a couple, whereas the first one, not cookie cutter, but it was like you said, you were more concerned about the experience your guests were having than you were about the experience you two were having.
Completely. That's the best statement.
This time will be about, I mean, I don't think you have anything to worry about with your vows because everything you're saying right now, all roads are leading to the moment that this has all been about is when you two look at each other and say these words. So I think it's, I'm sure you'll, you know, scratch things out and you'll edit them and it'll be like, it'll feel hard for you, but I am confident that in that moment, everyone there will be right on board with you two because it will have, you know, it's all speaking to you two as Sutton and Tricia.
I hope so. I think you're right. I hope so. It feels different. I have to say that. It feels very different. I don't know if that's age, wisdom, weathering, time, what it is, but it feels...
All of that.
It feels very different than the first time around.
Awesome. Is there anything that in your mind you wanted to express in this recording that perhaps you didn't get to? Advice, anything like that?
There are no rules. And I think this is becoming more and more apparent in weddings, like, or even events. There's no... If you can figure out how to do it and it makes you happy and it doesn't, you know, I was going to say it doesn't horribly offend anyone in your family, but I think that you should be able to talk to them about it and say, this is why I'm doing it and this is why it's important to me. Like, I still have to have the conversation with my dad. I don't think he expects to walk me down the aisle, but I think if he really thought about it for a minute, he'd be like, oh yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
And I think having Emmeline do it is a little bit more meaningful because we're creating a new family.
Yeah.
Well, we've created it, but it's a formality.
But like you said, you don't feel like your dad should be giving you away.
Yeah.
At this point, it actually should be your daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm gonna give mommy to you. Like,
I'm trusting you.
I'm gonna accept you. I'm trusting you, and here you go. Like, I think that's beautiful.
And I also think Ems needs to know that this is about mom and dad's love or mom and Sutton's love because, you know, Sutton has been like, it's very important that she is incorporated, but at the same time, it's very important that it's, you know, about you and I.
Right.
So I think that's a big thing too. Like there needs to be a distinct, you know, and there will be. We'll have those moments, but yeah, and trust your vendors.
Well, very good.
And I just love that you're in your closet.
I know. She really. I ran out of wine. She pays attention. This is sad.
I know. I finished mine too. We need to refill.
I know.
Okay. So thank you very much, Miss Tricia.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It was so good to see you. Like I haven't talked to you in real time for so long.
I know. Do you know? I still have my wedding binder with all your stuff in it. How funny is that?
Really?
Yeah.
You know, when we were working together, you didn't like how we were saying it's changed so much. Like right now, my clients text me all the time.
No. That would have been hard. That would have been like, you know, the 3-letter texting. What is that even called? Yeah.
A, B, C.
Totally.
Amen. Yeah, it's changed a lot. But anyway, thank you so much
You're
for doing
welcome.
This.
Thank you, guys. I feel so important. I love it.
You are important. This is full circle, lady.
It is full circle. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So,
hit us up on the social media, please. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast at gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are soon to be on Instagram. On Twitter, we're TBWP Podcast. And you can also ask us questions there or toss out ideas of topics that you want to hear about or hear more about. So do that. And also, if you want to make Michelle the happiest little muffin in all the land, then you need to leave a review on iTunes. And tell your friends and listen and spread the word. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Happy planning, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.